Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Joe Reeves, with Inverse.
Life is full of setbacks. It could be a failed exam. It could be an unexpected injury in an accident. Maybe you were hoping for a job that you didn't get. Maybe it was a denied visa. We experience setbacks. And how do we respond when that happens? Well, the followers of Jesus also experienced their own set of storms in life and setbacks. We're going to be looking at a couple of those stories today right here on Inverse Bible Study. My name is Joe. I'm your host, and we're joined at the table with RJ. Thanks for being back for another great Bible study, as well as Sharonette. Glad to have you here. And Paul.
Hey, Joe.
And we're glad to be able to study the Bible together with each other and with you wherever you're watching or listening. And we hope that we can learn and grow together. I learned so much from my friends right here on the program. And so let's ask God to do this miracle for us again today. Yes. Paul, if you can lead us in prayer.
Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of fellowship with one another, where we can learn from one another and from your holy word. We pray today that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher. Guide us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We've been studying this season on growing in a relationship with God. And we hope that every day and every week, month, you are growing in your relationship with God. You can watch all of our past episodes. You can learn great things with us at hopetv.org/inverse. I'm hoping you're opening your Bible, you're reading. We have print Bible studies as well. You can access those online at inversebible.org. And we will continue challenging ourselves to grow in our relationship with God. In this episode today, which is about setbacks, life's storms and setbacks, we're going to look at a story of Jesus and his disciples from Mark chapter 4. And it's a night, and it's not a great night for them, but Jesus is with them. Yes. Mark 4, and RJ, can you read us the story starting in verse 35?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace. Be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Wow. Okay, here we go. I mean, if Jesus has the power to calm the storm, he also has the power to stop the storm. Yeah. It never could have happened. He could have prevented it. He could have stayed on the land till it was done. He knew it was coming. Sharonette, what kind of lessons? Why would Jesus take them into the storm like this? What was he trying to teach them?
Why he permitted it to happen, right? And I think it's really understanding, testing their faith. Do they really trust him? Because it points out here in verse 40, right? It says, "Why are you so fearful?" Right? The differentiation between feelings and faith. Right? They were just so, I mean, human nature, of course, we're going to be fearful, but really Christ is testing, like, "I'm with you. You know, there's nothing to fear about. I'm literally he's with them. And also spiritually, right? Even for us today, he's with us through the storms, amidst the storms.
So. Amen. These guys weren't new to the boats. They were fishermen, right?
Yes. Yep. So
they were on this lake before, ropes. Right?
Yeah.
So to scare some fishermen on the lake, it must have been a bad storm.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we looked at some of these verses in our previous season, but I think if indeed they had remembered the Psalms, if they had remembered the songs they sung, they would have remembered something about God promising to calm the storms in the sea with them. This is, I'm going to read from Psalm 75, verse 7. "You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples." Here's another verse, again from the Psalm, Psalm 107, verse 29. "He," God, "calms the storm so that its waves are still." God is the one whom the Psalms, whom Scripture tell us, rules the waves of the sea. When Jonah fell into this boiling ocean. Before he fell in, he tells the heathen sailors, he tells them, I worship the God of the land and the sea.
Yeah.
There is no geographical limitation on God. Mm-hmm. If the disciples had indeed paid attention to what they know about God, to what they know about the Lord, their fear would have been informed by the promises of Scripture, by the promises of God. The stories of the Bible would have reminded them, well, we're in a terrifying storm, but here is a man who has the ability to open blind eyes and do all these things. We need not fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I like this because, you know, I like to start in verse 35, right? On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, what is that signifying? Let us cross over to the other side. They had a mission. They wanted to go somewhere, right? And in like manner, in our lives, we also have a mission. We want to do something. You know, oftentimes we want to, you know, cross onto the other side, whether it be, you know, just accomplishing something, right? But then you this helped me out. This helps me out because when we're trying to go cross over to the other side, whether it be a mission trip or whether it be, you know, trying to get victory over some things or things of that nature, there will be storms that come into our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's just because of a sinful world that we live in. You know, when we're trying to accomplish something, when we're trying to, you know, oftentimes when my wife and I, when we're trying to cross over to the other side, when we're trying to come over here, you know, we're traveling so much, when we go somewhere, is as if Satan tries to like tempt us and make us argue and, you know, and all of these things. And we always have to remember, hey, no matter what the storms lies, Jesus is always with us. And I believe that's what Jesus was trying to teach us here today.
And also, I mean, I see it a lot, right? In psychiatry, right? People are in that state of panic. That's what's happening with the disciples. Their cognition, their ability to judge and reason wasn't, you know, there, right? That's why you ask, like, why didn't they understand the promises of God? It wasn't there. It was that fight or flight response.
Right.
And God is saying, hey, you know, you need to be grounded in me. And that's why it's important for us to ground ourselves in the Word of God, right? Because these things are going to happen. And if you don't have a good anchor, you will get tossed to and fro.
And I wanted to add on to that. You know, there's this book that I read, and I highly recommend it. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, I actually recommends that, hey, when you are in line, go to the longer line. You know, what do we often do when we go in line? In the store, right? When we're going grocery shopping at Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, or whatever it may be, we go to the shorter line. We're like, oh, which one is the shorter line? And then we go to this one, the shorter line.
Yeah.
But then he actually recommends, hey, when you're at the store, go to the longer line. And he actually spells out why. And he says it's because so you can take a spiritual pulse. You can be like, okay, how is my day today? How am I emotionally? Again, that self-examination, self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was with these disciples. The reason why Jesus says, how come you're so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It wasn't because Jesus was saying, you guys don't have faith just for the sake of not having faith. No, Jesus was saying, I have been with you for these years, for these past 3 years. And it's like, you still are fearful. So then with that, what you just mentioned is, you know, the frontal lobe just goes away and we're just fight
panicking.
Or flight mode. We're panicking. But then when we're constantly aware and constantly self-examining our hearts, where we are emotionally, I feel like God can help us even more when we go through the trials.
Yeah, exactly.
These were disciples who spent 3.5 years of time with Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Growing in a relationship with him.
Right.
It's almost as if it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, that at this point in the ministry, Jesus is thinking, you know, I think the next thing that the disciples need to grow in a relationship with me, we need to go through a storm together.
That's right.
He's testing.
Yep.
You need to test.
Yeah.
Does God ever do that with you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've faced some storms in life, and those really dark moments in my life, because those storms in my life, it was also like night in my life. Like the light, it was dark. Like I'm like...
Right.
I don't know. I've gone through typical stuff that a lot of people have gone through.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I had a significant relationship in college. I thought I was going to marry this girl and we broke up and it was like, life was over. You know?
Yeah.
And I could not sleep. You know, I'm up like 3 a.m. and I sleep really well. Even in college, I slept really well. And I'm like, I can't sleep. You know, it was like everything, but you know, those seasons in life, That gave me opportunity to talk to God more than usual.
Yeah.
Reevaluate where I'm going, my own priorities, my own identity, who I am, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And like those storms in life that I've happened have actually been those seasons in my life that have really anchored me.
That's right.
In my relationship with God.
Yeah.
So it just makes reading this story makes me wonder if we can flip the narrative in our lives, you know, instead of running away from the storm, like this storm is an opportunity to get to know Jesus better.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like the refiner's fire, right? The refiner's fire is that gold, you know, I mean, gold doesn't just turn gold just for the sake of turning gold. I mean, that gold had to go through some chiseling, through some fire, through some straight up more chiseling and then more fire and then it becomes gold.
Pure gold.
Yeah. And that's how I believe as, you know, Christians, as God, you know, as in this journey that we're walking with God, man, these trials is that chiseling. These tribulations is that, you know, that fire. And then when we come out of these storms in life, we come out as gold as well. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the trials, like you were just mentioning, in these trials that we go through, I would not, every trial that I went through my 35 years of life, and I would not change it for the world, because it made me who I am today. So, you know, when we're going through trials, and if there's some viewers out there that's like, man, I'm going through trials right now, just remember, if we bear it right, Christian graces are being bear, and you will go through it stronger than ever.
You know, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells us that he's talking to the children of Israel at the end of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when everything seems to be, they set out, they were supposed to go to the promised land, and there seems to be disappointment. People are dying and they haven't yet seen the promised land. You know, it's a place of in-betweenness and disappointment and dryness. And Moses says, God led you through all of these experiences to test you, to see what was in your heart. When people go through great crisis, and I worked as a chaplain for several years, and I see people sometimes on their backs in the hospital, and they will say and admit that several things they thought was so crucial to their lives has been knocked out from under them. Some really prominent leaders in the community who thought their whole identity was wrapped up in their role in the community, in their real estate business, or what have you.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they lose a stroke, loses, you know, they lose the ability to handle basic human functions.
Yeah.
And suddenly then the realization comes, Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all I have right now. Jesus is all I need. And these storms, Joe, are a great reminder to us that sometimes we are placing a valuation on something and standing on that something and saying, this is what I need to find true meaning in my life. And then sometimes the Lord can say, let's shake that a little bit. Let's test if this really indeed holds you up.
Yeah.
And then a storm proves, not really. My skill as a fisherman is not really something I can depend on.
That's true.
I need the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's someone much wiser, much more powerful than I am. And I shouldn't be relying on my skills.
Well, I like how you like highlight that, because fishermen, their pride is the lake. Their pride is the water. Like, I can do this boat thing.
That's true. You know?
I can navigate. If anybody can survive a storm, it's me.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, well, let's try this. Let's strip that away from you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even in your best, you're going to have to depend on me.
That's right.
And so maybe our biggest storms, this is really making me think, you know, that parts of our life that we're the most proud of, or we feel the most confident of, that's where God wants to bring the storm.
Yeah.
Say, even there, even there, you depend on me.
Yes. Yeah. I want to add a caveat to this. One is that this has now slipped into our thinking, some of the hymns we sing. There's a popular hymn called God Moves in a Mysterious Way. A line in that hymn says, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Meaning to say that God sends us terrible trial, terrible adversity, and it seems like God is showing us a side of his face that is, you know, very terrifying. But behind it, God has this beautiful plan and beautiful purpose. Now, this is an erroneous concept. God does not send us. You read the story of Job, and you see that evil and affliction and loss and death, these are the work of an enemy. The Lord, in his parable, shares how it is the Lord that sowed good seed. An enemy is the one who sows tares.
That's right.
We need to separate these things to say that the Lord allows trial, but the source of evil is not the Lord. God is not.
I'm so glad you clarified that because I mean, like, we have to understand that God permits it, but he doesn't cause it, right? And so it's really important because, like, I mean, when I went through a breakup in a relationship, all I saw was a black, you know, there's no light. I mean, there was a light at the end of that tunnel. And I was like, am I going to reach that light? You know what I mean? And I was just holding on to God. And a lot of things happen too. Like a lot of people, you know, leave Christianity or leave the church because they've been hurt, right? By the people in the church or whatever it may be. And I realized, no, I'm here for Jesus. And it's because of him that I'm actually here. And no matter what happens, the storms that come our way, like, I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave because he's been with me and I just want to continue with him.
Right.
You know,
no, that's a good point. And one of my favorite verses that helps me out with this when I go through trials, because, you know, the viewers may be at, I mean, I'm going through trials, but how do I practically get through it? Right. How do I practically get through it? So I'm going to do two practicality and how to get through it. Number one is just remember in First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it actually says, there's no temptation that has overtaken you. And then I looked up that word temptation. It actually means trials, right? It actually means tribulations. So it actually is saying there's no trials that has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or to have the trial beyond what you are able. And but with the trial will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So when we're going through trials, remember this verse, claim onto this verse. I'm going through this trial because God measured it and he weighed it and he said, RJ, you can go through this trial because I know that you can handle it and I will not give you anything that you cannot handle or above that you cannot handle. So when you're going through trial, always remember that.
That's right.
So he does shield us.
Yeah.
100%.
Because he does not allow it to come beyond what we're able to, handle.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. And then the second one is over there when we go back to Mark chapter 4, look at what he says. He gives us actually a rebuke in a sense, but not a rebuke, but he gives us a counsel and how to go through storms that in life that we go through. And he says it right there in verse 39 in Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. He says, and then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, went to the storm, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And in like manner, this reminds me in the book of Psalms where it says that, be still and know that I am God. So it's really a mindset. You know, you're in mental health. When it talks, the mindset is everything. Like literally, when you're going through trials, remember that God will not allow you to go through anything that you cannot bear or any trials above that. And then when you're going through trials, remember, be still. Don't try to overcome it. Don't be ruffled. Don't be cry. You know, like, just remember, be still and know that I am God and I will help you through this and I'm guiding you through this.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to look at this in another lens. This is a very focused storm. It happens in one night. Crisis. And but if we go just to the next chapter, there's another story. A 12-year storm.
Wow.
A setback of 12 years. You know there's a difference. You know that you've experienced setbacks that are sudden, but there's those, if you've experienced sickness or somebody in your family, and the sickness goes on for years, and it's like there's no relief from trial. Let's consider that for a little bit. This is a woman who Jesus meets in Capernaum because she doesn't want to be seen. She sneaks up behind him. It doesn't mention her name, and she would love to remain anonymous, not be heard, not be seen, all those kinds of things. But she has a real need that has continued this problem, this darkness for 12 years. Sharonette, would you mind reading in Mark 5, starting verse 21?
21, okay. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him, earnestly saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death, and come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well."
There's a lot here. So he's come to Capernaum. This is a city. He's done many miracles. Mm-hmm. And let's just imagine that one of us is Jesus' PR manager, public relations manager. If Jesus has a great opportunity here, Jairus is here in the city. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus, everybody knows his name. He's very important. A synagogue is the center of the city. It's not only where they worship together, it's where they have birthday parties, it's where they have education. There's a lot happening. And Jairus is in charge of the synagogue. If Jesus can heal Jairus' daughter, it's a big story. It's a front page story for the newspapers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a story that goes everywhere. And Jairus is waiting for Jesus to come and help at his house. And so if I was Jesus' PR manager, I would say, "Jesus, get to Jairus' house as fast as you can."
Yeah.
But Jesus is in no hurry.
Yeah.
And instead, there's a nobody. And nobody knows her name. And she's sneaking up. She doesn't want to be seen behind Jesus. Mm. And Jesus is thinking about this lady and going to prioritize her right now in this moment instead.
It's an amazing story. The importance of you know, Jairus' daughter experiences literal death. This lady is experiencing a ritual death. The death of being unable to be pregnant. She's experiencing a constant bleeding. And Jesus comes to someone who had died literally, and he resurrects her to life. Jesus finds someone who has died a ritual death, and he resurrects her from that ritual death to life. It's significant that Jesus is intentionally becoming proximate to ritual uncleanliness, touching a dead girl, allowing himself to be touched by a woman who is ritually unclean. Jesus is not fazed by our sin. He is not fazed by how dead we are in our sins. Jesus makes himself proximate to us. We can reach out and touch him. This woman was unclean for 12 years. 12 is such a significant number in Scripture, representative of Israel. She stands as a symbol of Israel. Israel was dead in its sins. Jesus needed to raise Israel, resurrect Israel to life. And she stands for that. She touches the hem of his garment, or the wing of his garment. You know, you read in Ruth chapter 3 when she, they're talking about marriage, Ruth asks for Boaz to spread the wing of his garment over her. Ezekiel chapter 16, the Lord says, "I spread the wing of my garment over Israel." These are marital words. And in this story, she stands for Israel. She stands for the church. She stands for believers. Though we are dead, Jesus comes not simply to make the sick whole. He comes to make the dead alive.
Yeah.
And that's
beautiful.
That's the beauty of Jesus' ministry for each one of us.
And I love seeing God's character in this, right? Like his character, like, you know, Brother Joe pointed out that he could have went over there, But, you know, but then there was this lady right then and there. Mm-hmm. I love that his character was, he was very present, mm-hmm. you know, and which tells me that he's present with my trials and with my, whatever the problems that I'm going through personally. Mm-hmm. God says, listen, there's so many problems here, but I'm present even for you. Mm-hmm. And that he's present for each and every one of us. Whatever trials that we're going through, always remember that God is with you and he sees your problem as if it's the only problem in the world, because that's what he showed us with this. With this woman, you know, he was very present with her problem. He wasn't thinking about the other problems that he had to go heal and, you know, all of that, but he was very present. So like it reminds me of the verse that he's a present help in time of need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
When we go through trials.
And honestly, like, I mean, I don't know if you guys like blood. I know you don't like blood, but like blood in and of itself, it's actually a significant thing, right? Because the Bible says the life is in the blood. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about the death, but also it stunk probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like constantly years. Bleeding, like, right, like her aroma, it was like just that presence, and Christ was willing to just come
beautiful.
Near to that and to realize, like, you know, our messes, we have messes, we have brokenness, and mm-hmm. God is saying, I'm willing to make that, you know, those ashes beautiful again.
Amen.
Right. And
beautiful.
I think that's what I want to encourage a lot of our viewers.
And isn't it very relatable for those of us that have gone through our own setbacks in life?
Yeah.
That she has tried everything.
Yeah.
She's spent her money on the physicians.
Oh, yeah.
And only grew worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like totally boxed mm-hmm. in. There's nothing else yep. left
mm-hmm.
except she's heard of this Jesus.
Mm.
And she goes, you use the edge of the garment. You talk about the wing of the garment. I think of it as the very tip mm. of this garment.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like if I could just touch the tip of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then and when she did, her life was never yeah. the same again.
Amen.
And in addition, she was also shy.
Yeah.
So after, did we read the part? I mean, let me read verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?"
Mm-hmm.
And his disciples said to him, quite astonished, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'"
Yeah.
And he looked around to see who had done this thing. Somebody. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to sneak away.
She's an introvert.
Yeah.
Super introvert.
And Jesus
yeah.
said, "No,
mm-hmm.
this is your day."
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is
Amen.
Your story.
Amen.
And we're going to let you tell this story.
Yeah. And I just want to remind our viewers that your setbacks is preparing you for a comeback.
There you go.
That just like what he did with her. Just like what he did with her.
Amen.
Yeah.
Your setback is preparing you for a comeback. And
Amen.
That's what God wants to do with each one of us.
Amen.
I had a few seconds left.
Okay. Nuance mm-hmm. to say, not always is our suffering, there's probably difficult to see a point in it. Jesus is the one who takes our suffering and he remakes it and gives it purpose and redeems our suffering in the
Amen.
End.
Amen.
So I don't know what night you're sailing through right now, what storm you're going through. I don't know if it's a one night thing like the disciples. I don't know if it's a 12-year thing like this nameless woman. But whatever your problem is, whatever your setback with Jesus, that can become a comeback.
Mm.
And he can heal and he can restore and he can bring peace. He can calm the storm. He can make the miracle in your life so that your life is a story of Jesus' power and glory. That's what Inverse is all about. Thank you for journeying with us. And we'll be right back here next week on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a dynamic Bible-based conversation led by your host, Joe Reeves. Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. While there, join us, like us, heart us, give us a thumbs up. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Until next time, this is Inverse.